When we talk about the holidays, I think a lot of times we consider it a family time. It's a time that we get together. As we fellowship at my house, at my family's home, my parents' home, one of the things we do is, in our fellowship time, is we play games. And so card games are our favorite. And I'm usually not the winner. And I'm usually in the middle of the pack or at the bottom of the pack. But it's a good time to talk and fellowship and to just kind of let loose and enjoy one another. We play games like Rummy and Hearts. One of the games we do not play, and I don't think we've ever played it during a holiday season, is poker. And as you know, in any card game, it's the draw of the luck, right? It's something that, however it's dished, that's how well you do. But sometimes some people do a little better with what they have than what I do with what I get. But in poker, when you feel like you have a good hand and it's kind of gone on for a while, you just kind of get to that place where if you really feel like, man, you've got it, you can win it. And what you do is you push all your chips to the middle of the table, right? You go for the gusto. You go for it all. And what you're doing is you're betting on the cards in your hands, that what you have is better than in anybody else's hands. So the belief is that you're holding the winning hand. And once you're committed, how many know there's no turning back? Once you put it in, nobody's going to let you take it back out. All right? It's dangerous ground. You might get beat up. All right? So making a commitment to Jesus Christ is similar to pushing all the chips to the middle of the table. It's gamble. It's a hope that what you're doing, what you're deciding, is the best decision that you can ever make in your life. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 1 today. We're going to look at the story of Mary. Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel and was propositioned. Yes, she was propositioned with an undertaking that would affect the entire human race from the beginning of time to the very end. And after hearing the details, we don't know all that was said and done. We don't know how long the conversation went on between her and Gabriel. We don't know every definite, finite piece of information that she was given. But after hearing the details, Mary said, "I'm all in." And so we're going to go and we're going to read Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation today. It is the older an older version of the New LT, so it may read different than the one you may be able to pull up on your phone. It says in verse 26, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could possibly mean. 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'But how can I have a baby? I am a virgin.' The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God.' Mary responded, 'I am the Lord's servant. I am willing to accept whatever he wants. Make everything you have said come true.' And then the angel left." Father, we're just asking that as we dissect this scripture today, that, Lord, you'll just speak into our heart. The same challenge that was given to Mary is given to us. And I pray, Father, that as Mary said, "I'm all in," that, Lord, when you come and speak to us and call us and give us this assignment, Lord, we can respond to you in the same way and say, "I'm all in." And so, Father, I'm just asking, Father, for just your presence to be here. I'm just asking once again to allow the Holy Spirit to magnify the words that I speak here today. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we want to begin at verse 28. It says, Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. And so I was curious. I looked up the word favored, and I kind of got a little bit surprised because I didn't know this, that the word favored is actually a verb form of the word charis, which is grace. And so this definition is to give grace, bestow favor. And so out of the story, we find out that God is offering her a gift of a lifetime, all right? A gift of all time, presented to no one else but this person, Mary. So she was favored among women. So God's grace was given to Mary in this specific situation. This verb form of charis, of grace here found in the scripture, is only used in one other place, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 4. And if you're familiar with the gifts that God has given to the church, it is the what? The prophets, apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we know that God specifically calls individuals to those offices. And so just think of it in that light. As he has called those individuals into the church, he is calling Mary specifically to a specific responsibility that he wants her to fulfill. So we also see in Luke 1, verse 42 and 43, that Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. And you need to realize that Mary is only a few days pregnant. And she goes to visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, in verse 42, gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? I find that kind of curious. If you're trying to figure out when life begins, we kind of find out that it begins at conception. Because here in this story, we recognize that Elizabeth already recognizes that very small cells within the stomach of Mary is her Lord. And so this is an argument that we can, and I don't think I've ever heard it argued in that sense, we can argue today from this fact that we believe that life begins at conception with a scripture right here, that she recognized, even after a few days of being impregnated, that Elizabeth recognized within herself, within the child within her, recognized by the Spirit of God that Jesus was a person. So when God calls us for a specific assignment, his expectation is for us to go all in. Wouldn't you agree? That when he speaks to us, lays something on our hearts, speaks to us, we have a dream, we have a vision, we have a prophetic, whatever it is, we have an expectation to respond to him in a positive way. So think about it. He did not choose someone else. So when God asks you to do something for him, he didn't choose someone else. He chose you. He did not choose randomly. He had something in mind specifically designated and designed for you to fulfill. He endowed you with grace to sufficiently fulfill that assignment. How many knows if God calls you, he will equip you? He favored you. He chose you specifically. The question is, how are we going to respond to the call that God lays upon our heart? Will we be like Mary, be all in? Will we push our chips to the middle of the table and say, God, I'm going to, by faith, I'm going to step out and do what you are asking me to do? So we're talking about a teenager here, all right? As far as commentators, I've heard as low as 14 to 16 to whatever, the age of Mary when she was approached by Gabriel for this assignment. That's pretty young. And that's a big assignment for a teenager. Amen? If you've raised teenage girls, you know, woo, amen, that, man, she must have been special. Amen? Hallelujah. So Mary must have been faithful in the little things. that she was selected for this huge assignment. Just think about it. She had to be doing something right that God came to her and said, I want you to be that specific one to raise my child. What are some of the things that God is asking of us here this morning? You know, a lot of things that God asks us are just little things. Sometimes he just puts people on our hearts just to pray for him. The other night I was laying in bed. I guess I was asleep. I woke up and an individual, a family that used to come here, was on my mind. And it was just waking up in the dead of the night, I figured God must want me to pray for that individual. And so there are those assignments sometimes that God comes and lays somebody hard upon your heart, puts them in your mind, and those are opportunities that we should take to pray for those individuals. Sometimes God lays upon our heart that we need to go and talk to somebody. Whether it's out of the blue or whether you encounter that person, there is just that something within your heart that says, you need to share my love with that individual right now. Sometimes we need to help someone. You know, we're in a hurry to pray for people, but how many know sometimes people don't need prayer, they need help. And sometimes God puts us in their path for us to be able to help them. Sometimes he asks us to give to someone. You know, one of the things that I have come across as being a pastor in the church is that, you know, people will come to me and say, you know, the Lord, you know, I think we should give to this person, and I think the church should help them. And what I'm thinking in my mind is that God spoke to you. Maybe God was speaking to you to take out of your resources to give to that individual. And so what we do is we kind of pass the buck on to somebody else to take care of the responsibility instead of doing it for ourselves. And so I just want to encourage you that when you come across the need, and maybe it may be a material thing, it may be food, it may be finances, how many know sometimes he's asking you to do something? We've had people come to our door, and we didn't have a whole lot of money all the time, but we would just scrounge through our freezers, we would scrounge through our cupboards, we would do whatever we did, we'd fill bags of food and give them. We didn't go to the church and say, hey, you know, we need to take a special offering. No, we gave what we had at the moment, what was on hand. And so sometimes God asks us to do those things. You see, God has endowed us with favor, with grace, to do what he needs us to do. And so sometimes, instead of pushing the buck, we need to just say, okay, I'm the one that God's asking to do it. Sometimes we have to take that opportunity of being all in and saying, I'm going to take responsibility for this. So Gabriel came and said, greetings, favored one. And then in verse 29 and 30, we see Mary's response. It says she was confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for God has decided to bless you. Being called to do something for God sometimes is pretty scary. Some of you can witness and share the love of Christ at a drop of a hat. Some of us kind of got to work it up. Some of us got to kind of pray it up. Okay, Lord, you're asking me to do this. How do I do it? How do I start, right? Some of you, all right, you have no problem. But for some of us, it's a scary step, all right? Some of you are extra what? What? Extrovert, yes. Amen. And some of us are introverted, all right? Some of us are a little bit more quiet. Those that are around me all the time probably don't agree with that. But when it comes to dealing with people, I am an introvert. And so, sorry if you're around me and you don't believe that. Oh, well, it means I'm used to you. I'm comfortable around you, all right? So being called to do something for God can be scary. It can be very disturbing and confusing. It can be very challenging because we're thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to fulfill this? What's it going to cost to me? So the question we often ask is when God comes and speaks to us is, why me? Because as soon as we do it, we always think of someone else who could be better at doing it, right? We can always think of somebody who's a little bit more talented, maybe a little bit more smarter, maybe creative, maybe a little bit more financially sound, or a better communicator. I mean, we all do that, right? It's like, well, what are you asking me when Libby can do it? He's better, right? Instead of, what? I'll take a step of faith, I'll do it. What do? We call on somebody else and say, hey, this is what's going on. Can you do it? Can you meet that need? In this case of Mary, there was no one else. It was Mary. And for us, we need to consider, too, that when God comes to us and speaks to us, he's putting it on our plate. He's giving us that responsibility. So it doesn't matter if it's a big thing. It doesn't matter if it's a small thing. But we can always think of someone who can do it better, right? When Karen's mom passed away, it was kind of a shock. It was kind of an unexpected thing. She had gone through surgery. She had some stomach issues. She went in. They were dealing with a mesh in her stomach. And we got a call one night saying, your mom passed away. So what we thought was a routine operation ended up in her dying. And so we were in a church. We weren't paid a whole lot. So when you think of flying across the country, you think, well, it's going to cost a little bit. But when there's four of you, that kind of multiplies a little bit. So, you know, you're talking $1,000 to $1,500 to $2,000 because it's a last-minute thing, and everybody knows that if you fly at the last minute, it's not cheap. And so we were in that predicament, and we didn't think much of it. We were just going to probably put it on a credit card and just do it and deal with it. And the church kind of said we would like to do something, but we had one family in our church, and it was, let me just say this as kind of a side thing here. When Pastor Judy comes into my office, she always makes one remark. She points at my skunk hat sitting on the file. She thinks it's the ugliest thing in the world. And it is, because the face of the skunk is still shriveled up and on the front of that hat, so it does kind of look grody. And I told her if she wants to come in my office, I'll be gladly put it in a drawer or something so she didn't have to look at it. But I don't think there's been one time she's been in my office that she doesn't look at that skunk hat. But this was the lady that I'm telling the story about that gave me that skunk hat. So I don't know if I like the skunk hat or if it's just a reminder of God's provision in my life. And so it sits there. Go back to the story. They came to the church while we were there. We were at the church for 11 years, and she came for a while, and then they became pretty much shut-ins. And so if you would go to their house, it was just a single wide trailer with kind of add-ons, and you walked in, and I don't know if you've ever been in a house where it's very full of stuff, that you kind of got to have to find a path to kind of get through that house. And so by looking at them, you wouldn't think that they wouldn't have a whole lot of money. But when we went to visit her, she said, I want to buy you the plane tickets to go. And it kind of surprised me. You know, I didn't know what, they were retired, and they were older. They were in their 70s probably at that time. And so I didn't think much of it. That is old, isn't it? Is that what you're saying, Robin? But her backstory was that her husband was in the service, and so she drug her and the kids all over Europe and even into Africa. And so when her parents died, she wasn't able to go home and be with her family. And so her idea in her mind was that, I don't want you to experience what we experienced. I want you to be able to go home and be with your family. And so why me, right? Sometimes, you know, God puts things in your lap, and we have a choice to respond. Are we going to bless? Are we going to hold it back? Are we going to pass it on to somebody else? And so she blessed us, and we were able to go. I still ask the question sometimes, even in ministry, and maybe you're asking that this morning, why me? Why is he up there? Why me? I don't know why God chose me to be in ministry. No one in our family. We're first-generation Christians. Why God would call my brother and me into the ministry, I have no idea. But the problem is we don't need to understand. We just need to obey. So Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said this, Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. I like that word, when. All right? Because whatever state he found us, right? I mean, he thought enough of us. While we were yet sinners, right? Christ died for us. Right where we're at, it didn't matter what we did, what we looked like, how we dressed, how we talked. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You know, he picks us up where he finds us. Amen. He loves us not because of what we will become. He loves us for who we are right then and there. Right? Because we may not ever become that person that he really wants us to be. But yet he loves us. And that says a lot about us here today. Why me? So it's not about us. It's about the favor and grace that God gives us, that he bestows upon us. So when we disconnect from that grace, we find ourselves in trouble. When we begin to do things on our own, live our own way, then we find some things that will go awry in our lives. I think a little confusion and disturbance is good for the soul. Don't you agree? That I think when he calls us to do a job, asks us to do something, I think we should be a little apprehension in the soul. Not that, I can do it. Because you're going to find out that God's going to put you in situations where it's not easy. And it's going to take you stepping out of your comfort zone to do what he's called you to do. It keeps us dependent on him. It keeps us humble. Amen? That he would choose to use us. When you were called, hallelujah, even after you're saved, even after you were saved, he still wants to use you in an amazing way. So, right? She was confused and disturbed. And this is what the angel says in verse 30, and we're also going to read verse 35. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for God has decided to bless you. Isn't it great when God decides to bless you? We think he has to. How many know he decides? He chooses to bless us. Verse 35. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the baby born to you will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. God has decided to bless you. And he has decided to bless you with assignments. Amen. So God's blessings, many of God's blessings, follow our obedience. There's conditions to some of God's blessings. How many know that? There's a lot of, if you do this, then I will do that in the Bibles. God over and again challenges people to be obedient to him. Do we work for the blessings or do we work for the one who blesses? And so we need to keep our mind on the right thing, and that is God. So this is what I've experienced, and many of you also can testify of this here today. We like to read Deuteronomy 28:2. It says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. How many have ever been overtaken by the blessing of God? If you're here this morning, you've been overtaken by the blessings of God. The blessings of God are upon you. But there's a condition. Because he said, I am going to bless you. I'm going to pour it out. It's going to overtake you. Because why? You obey the voice of the Lord your God. There is a condition there. Because you did this, because you're obedient, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. Isn't that great? That God blesses us. Don't be afraid. I have decided to bless you. So there was two blessings that I picked up as we read this scripture here today. When Mary said, I'm all in. The first one was the Holy Spirit will come upon her and overshadow her. I don't know about you, but I want the Holy Spirit in my life. I want the Holy Spirit in me. I want him operating through me. And so this should be all of our desire here today, just as the Holy Spirit came upon her and overshadowed her. He wants to do that in your life as well. He doesn't want us to be weak anemic Christians. How many know that? He wants us to be bold. He wants us to be empowered by his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was a promise for all people. It began in Joel chapter 2, and we see the fulfillment of his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem till they were what? Empowered by the Spirit who is coming. He also says, your flow, river, water. It says in parentheses in your Bible, which is in reference to the Holy Spirit, which had not been given at that time. And so, we need to pray for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But how many know it's conditioned sometimes on us being all in? The disciples were empowered before they were called to work. How many know that? Tarry, be empowered, then go and do my assignment. We need to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just come to you right now and we just pray as a body of Christ. Lord, we do not want to be Pentecostals in name only, Father, but we want to be people that, Lord, do not have a version of holiness, of godliness without its power. Father, we want to be that people, Lord. And so, Father, we're just asking now that you would just, again, encourage us, Lord, to desire what happened in the life of Mary can happen in our life as well, because, Lord, you have a work for us to accomplish. And so, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So if we want the wishes from the genie, we have to let them out of the bottle, right? We have to allow the Holy Spirit, right, the right to our lives, a surrendered life. So the Holy Spirit, that was the first blessing. That was poured out would be upon her, and she would be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And the second one, it was that you would become pregnant and have a baby, and he will be holy. And Mary had a legitimate response. How can this be? I am a virgin. And so you can understand a little bit why she was confused and disturbed, because this was an impossible situation that she was placed in because she was a virgin. And yet, she was called to have a baby, God's baby. And think about it, it's not only the impossibility of the situation, but the magnitude of the responsibility. Could you imagine, ladies, God coming to you and saying, I want you to raise my son? That's kind of heavy, you know? That sounds like a pretty big responsibility to me. Amen. Mary, no doubt, felt overwhelmed in the midst of this situation. And I believe a lot of times, in a similar fashion, God plants his word. He plants his promise. He gives us assignment. And it's implanted within us. And if we allow it to take root, it begins to grow. And just like pregnancy, we know that it begins very small, microscopic. And then it grows into something we can see. So even with what God is asking us to do, it starts very small, and nobody notices. Ladies, it took you, what, 3, 4, 5 months before maybe you began to show, right? And sometimes when God does something in us, or he's calling us, or he's giving us assignments, sometimes those around us don't recognize that there's something going on in us. But eventually we know that that dream or vision or promise or calling that God has given us, as it grows, it begins to show. It becomes obvious, and it can't be hidden ever again. So when we accept God's word, we become impregnated, right? When he comes and tells us and gives us that thing we're called to do, we know that the result, as it is birthed, is something that will be holy and glorifying to God. We stand in a church today, Chapel on the Hill, because it began what? As a seed, right? Planted in the hearts of people. And it began to grow and grow. At first, nobody even noticed. But now as people drive by, they can see the result of that seed. Of those who took God's word and said, we're all in on this and we're going for it. Why should we fear the process in which God wants to bless us? So Why do we fear the assignments that God gives us as if we can't handle it? The Bible says he doesn't give us more than what we can handle. Mary was commanded not to fear, and she chose to accept the hand that she was dealt. She pushed all her chips to the middle of the table. And it's time when God comes to us that we do the same thing. We push the chips to the side and say, I'm all in. In verse 38, we continue the story. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. Make everything you have said come true. And then the angel left. Mary went all in. No reservations. She said, I am willing to accept whatever he wants. And the truth is this morning that whatever comes with a price tag. If you're here this morning and you said, Lord, I'm going to follow you no matter whatever, you've put your chips in the table, on the middle of the table. You've set yourself up. It would be later that Simeon would prophesy over Mary and Jesus and said this concerning her, whatever you want. She said, as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your very soul. So there was a price tag in her saying yes to her assignment. And as we follow Jesus and as we say yes, there is always the whatever, the unknown. Sometimes it's accepted, sometimes it's rejected. Sometimes there's hardships, sometimes there's not. And so we need to be ready that when we say yes to God, that it's not going to be a piece of cake. It's not going to always be easy. Because after the cross for Mary, there was a resurrection. Mary's nightmare turned into her greatest joy. And all in never comes without a cost. Sometimes it costs us our dreams. It costs us our ambitions, our plans. Sometimes it costs us our family. The day after I graduated from high school, I left. I moved out. I went off to pursuing God's call upon my life. Sometimes it means what? Saying goodbye to our family. Sometimes it means our finances are affected. You know that dream of having that house, that car, that job, that vacation home, that whatever, right? Sometimes it costs those things. We know the story of Mary and the spikenard where she broke it and anointed Jesus before his death. We know that story. And it was a year's wages. That's what shocked the disciples. A year's wages, they're watching, has just been wasted. And Jesus said, what? She's done a great thing. She has prepared me for my burial. Jesus applauded it. The disciples scorned it. And so there is a cost sometimes. A giving of ourselves, giving of our plans, our family, our comfort. And you know the story of Mary and Joseph. It wasn't easy from the very beginning. They moved from home. They had to put up with the shame, as it was, being pregnated before they were married. We see the trip to Egypt. We see the going home trip, going back and kind of fitting back into their community. There was hardships. There was difficulties. Things that they had to face because they came to that place in their life. They said, whatever. Whatever the price is, we're going to help fulfill the plan of God. By not being all in, we can miss some of God's greatest blessings. I'm glad Mary was all in. I'm glad. I'm excited. Luke chapter 1, and if you'll come. Luke chapter 1, Bush, if you'll get it prepared back there. Luke chapter 1, verse 40. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greetings, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greetings, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. There's a lot of blessings in that scripture that we just read. And it only came about because Mary said, I'm all in. She said yes to the plan of God. Amen. You're no longer asleep. Amen. Today we carry the same good news within us as Mary did. The Jesus in us is no less powerful than what Mary experienced. We have the same good news in us that Mary had. The good news. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so we stand here today. If we come in his name and do work in his name, we will be blessed. We have the same Holy Spirit indwelling us that filled Mary and Elizabeth. Like them, we have a choice this morning to be all in. Just prepare your hearts here this morning. This is an opportunity just to remember what Jesus did, but also line ourselves up with the Word of God. Realign ourselves if you've been unrealigned because of things maybe said, done. Now's the time just to put it back under the blood and make things right here this morning.